Welcome back to the McAdoo Studios. Kyle Bailey, Danny Noakes, Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Follow him on Twitter at Chris Coleman TSL. Follow Danny on Twitter at Danny Noakes. And you can follow me at the Clubhouse KB. Send us your emails, Kyle.Bailey at Cumulus.com and Danny.Noakes at Cumulus.com. And of course, we always encourage you to check out the tremendous work over at TechSideline.com that Chris Coleman and Will Stewart and company do covering Virginia Tech athletics. And you'll be continuing to cover a coaching search as the weeks and months continue to progress here. Frank Beamer's run is coming to an end, and now Whit Babcock is tasked with, and I used the Alabama analogy the other day, Frank Beamer is Virginia Tech's Bear Bryant. Now Whit Babcock's got to go find their Nick Saban.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And honestly, you know, Alabama didn't find their Nick Saban until, what, 30 years after Bear Bryant retired?
Correct,
or 40,
yeah.
Whatever it was, yeah. So it's not going to be easy. No, you're never going to keep a guy for 29 years again. I think the ideal situation is a coach comes in and he's here for 5 to 7 years and he leaves for Ohio State or Florida, something like that. You know, I think that's best case scenario in my opinion, because no coach is going to stay at a school for 30 years again. It's just not going to happen unless he happens to be an alum. And I just don't see any alums out there for Virginia Tech that would take this job, or that should have this job right now, and would stay here that long.
Other than Bruce Arians, and he wouldn't stay here that long.
Right.
But I made a similar point, Danny, the other day. I said, you know, for Tech fans, kind of with the hand-wringing about, well, who's the next coach going to be? You don't want to hire a guy who just has his sights set on one of those blue-blood, five-program type of jobs. But the fact of the matter is, if you hire a guy that Texas and Ohio State want to steal away, then you've hired a damn good head coach, and
right,
you've done good in the process.
Right. That's exactly what I was going to say. If you've got a guy that's even being considered for Ohio State or a Florida or a Texas job, well, then he probably did a pretty good job at the place he's at right now. And if that place is Virginia Tech, if they get a guy like that, then, well, he's probably seen some success too. And when you're in the ACC and on the Coastal side, that means winning the Coastal Division, ACC championships, that type of stuff. So that's the million-dollar question, though. Who's that guy? Who's going to lead them to back to the ACC Coastal Division crown and the ACC championship?
We know why the job's attractive. It's because of Frank Beamer and the foundation that he's built, some of the best facilities in the country, winning tradition, tremendous fan base, fertile recruiting state, lots and lots of things to like about the job. But we had a caller, I don't even remember who it was, call in a couple of days ago and say, Kyle, who do you think the next head coach is going to be? And I said, I can't answer that. There's no way for me to answer that. The best you can do, and Chris, I'll let you speak to this, is that you can lay out a set of criteria that we think we know based on what we think we know about Whit Babcock and his track record of hiring coaches, his stated preferences and who he looks for in head coaching candidates. And you can look for, I think it's safe to say, a guy with head coaching experience. I think you're going to probably see a guy from the offensive side of the football. You're going to see a guy who was successful in his last stop, and I think you're going to see someone who skews, if it is an external candidate, a little bit younger, a dynamic personality recruiter type, and I think you start there. So with all that, maybe you can add some more criteria to that list, but you know, who meets that criteria?
That's a great question. I think Tom Herman would meet that criteria, even though he's only coached for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
He's an outstanding recruiter. I think he fits the criteria more than anybody. I think Larry Fedora fits that criteria, but I don't know if Virginia Tech is pursuing him. I don't know if he'd be interested. I have no idea. Nobody's mentioned his name except for I think Bitter and Teal did it in articles.
Wouldn't that be a strange transition?
That would be weird.
I don't know that it's possible or not possible, but I mean, to move not just within your conference but within the division. You know, Carolina's a school with a great basketball tradition, and they have a lot of money, and you know, but he's also been coaching and recruiting under the cloud of that scandal, and they don't have Carolina fans just. Bear with me here. You don't have a great football environment. You know, people show up midway through the first and second quarter. You know, it's sort of like an afternoon cookout, not really a raucous stadium.
A lot of golf clapping.
I'm not off on that, am I?
Yeah.
That's accurate.
I've
been to Keenan several times. Mm-hmm. That's the feeling. It's not really a daunting place to go play a football
game. It's not.
Well, but what year was it when Coach Beamer flip-flopped on going to North Carolina?
2000.
So that was before they went to the ACC.
Before Tech went to the absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that makes a little more sense, because I was just wondering when you said it'd be kind of a weird transition to go from the same, not just within the same conference, but in the same division.
Yeah,
that would be weird.
That was pre-ACC. It was pre-stadium expansion, I believe.
Yeah, it was. It was even before the South End Zone expansion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was before that. It was before all the weight room upgrades and all the Merriman upgrades. So it's a different day and age at this point in time.
Another thing you could probably toss into that, the criteria for the coaching the next head coach for Virginia Tech, probably from a good coaching pedigree, from a good, you know, he's spent some time as a head coach, but also when he was an assistant, he probably learned underneath someone that had some success as well.
Oh yeah, so that matters. You want a guy from a good coaching tree. I think a guy from, like, that's why Tom Herman is so attractive to a lot of people. Not just the fact that he's got Houston rolling right now, but the fact that, you know, he coached at Ohio State with Urban Meyer. I believe he coached with Mac Brown at Texas. Is that
correct?
Yeah,
I believe. He was a GA there. Yeah, that was his first ever job, was a GA for Texas.
Pretty good way to start.
Yeah, that's a pretty good way to start. I think if you look at those Urban Meyer assistants, that coaching tree, how many of those guys don't have success when they move on as a head coach?
Not many.
Almost all of them have gone on to have very successful head coaching careers, at least so far to this point.
Okay, three names I want you to touch on because everybody's asking us about these three names. Sure. I think I get these a lot. I'll start with Rich Rod. And David Teal said this a couple of weeks ago, and Danny remembers this. He said the Rich Rod thing is almost too obvious at this point.
Oh, you know, yeah.
It's almost too talked about. I actually, and I could be way off base on this, I don't think Rich Rodriguez will be the next head coach of Virginia Tech.
I don't think he is either. And I think I don't think he will be unless, you know, four or five guys ahead of him say no. I think Witt will hire him if he has to, but I think he understands that that the fan base is very divided. I mean, the fan base is going to be divided no matter who you hire for the most part. But you're talking about a middle split right there. Absolutely. I mean, that would create a lot of tension. It's just not – I like Rich Rod. I think, you know, in a vacuum, he'd do a good job, but at first mistake he made, Tech fans would be all over him.
Oh, yeah.
And it would be absolute hell monitoring my message boards. I'll be straight honest with you.
I think the environment for him in Blacksburg would not be that much more friendly than it was in Michigan if things didn't go well early on. I think you're spot on that. So just in the spirit of time here, Chad Morris at SMU, their record is not good. Mm-hmm. But they're scoring a lot more points this year than they were last. They were atrocious last season.
I looked
season.
Up their offensive efficiency ranks, and they were awful the last 4 years. And then this year, they're 58th. Not great, but they've improved by leaps and bounds.
Well, they're averaging over 30 points a game.
Right, absolutely.
I think they were averaging, like, what, 17 last season best?
Yeah, and, you know, he's a very good offensive coach. I think he's a good recruiter. They have this number two recruiting class in their conference right now, only behind Houston.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually only, like, a couple of spots below Virginia Tech's recruiting class in the rivals rankings, believe it or not.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think he's a guy who could potentially do a good job. But, you know, for your average fan who doesn't delve deep down into it and look at the details, they're going to look at him and say, oh, look, he's 1-8. Or at the end of the season, he's 2-10, whatever. I mean, it's just he would have been more hireable last year, in my opinion, when he was 0-0 as a head coach.
Exactly. That's exactly what Andy Bitter said. I think it was a couple of weeks ago now. But the knock on him, if you're looking at that criteria, is that in his only head coaching experience is that he's 1-8. But if you go back, you know, to last year at the end of the season, and you look at when he was the offensive coordinator for Clemson, well, then you're probably going to hire him. He's one of the hot names.
True, but if you talk to the people in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, SMU people, you know, they see a dramatic improvement in this team, and it's competition level and its competitiveness and their ability to score the football, which is huge. Tech fans have been clamoring for that. Not to mention the fact that warrants mentioning that Chad Morris has said openly he wants the Virginia Tech job. He said this while he was on staff at Clemson.
Absolutely.
So if you're looking for a guy who really wants to be in Blacksburg, you know, he's got a pretty impressive resume, and he's made it openly known he wants to be in Blacksburg, which I think is a big part of that.
Yeah, I think it's a big part of that. I think he's a possibility. I think he could potentially do a good job. I don't think he's at the top of the list. I personally think Tom Herman's at the top of the list. I think he's at the top of a list for a lot of people.
Probably
right
so.
Now.
Probably USC West, USC East, Miami. You know, he's the top of everyone's list right now. He's going to have his pick of the litter, no doubt about it. And then one final name I want to talk some basketball after this. Bud Foster, because, you know, people have such strong feelings about Bud and, you know, understand that he is, you know, almost as instrumental as Frank in building this program. He's been here for so long, and no matter what you feel about the way the defense has performed at times this season, that is still arguably the best defensive coordinator in the country. You know what I mean?
Like, no question.
He doesn't have that guy's staff.
He just doesn't have as much talent this year as he's had in the past, which part of that is his own doing. Part of it is, you know, he wasn't coaching under the best closer. You know, for lack of a better word, you know, that was never Frank's strength as a football coach, as being a closer on the recruiting trail. So, he's had some handicaps there. But, yeah, Bud's a top-notch defensive coordinator. I think he made some interesting comments this past week. I mean, he certainly wants the job, and he said they didn't need a culture change. I guess it depends on what your definition of a culture change is.
That's it, right.
I think we do need a culture change when it comes to recruiting. I mean, I think our efforts there have to be doubled, tripled. I mean, I'm a firm believer that when the next head coach is hired, he's going to be supported by a recruiting staff of probably 8 to 12 guys mm-hmm. with interns and everything like that. It's going to be a much bigger operation than it is right now. I think the next head coach is going to have to have major requirements of his assistants when it comes to recruiting. Like I'll bring up Tom Herman again. I mean, when that article in Campus Rush about him, and he requires his assistants to make X number of communications with recruits per day via Twitter on private messages and things like that. He understands that that's how you have to recruit. You have to meet recruits in their own medium these days. And he holds his assistants accountable. We need a coach that's going to hold people accountable. I don't get the sense that Frank really holds his assistants accountable. I don't think they have to turn in a weekly report to Frank Beamer saying, oh, here are the prospects I talked to this week. Here's what I told them, everything like that. I just think he lets them do their thing, for better or for worse. I think we need a hardcore recruiter. Now, that would be a culture shock to a certain extent.
Yeah, it's just a new age of football, a new breed of kid. The social media has completely changed the game. You have coaches like Herman who require a certain quota of tweets to be met every day, and it's just different. You know? Yeah. And Frank recognized that, and I think this coaching staff and this athletics department has really caught on to that with the change at the top over the past couple of seasons. All right, got about 2 minutes left here, 3 minutes left. I wish we could devote more time to basketball, but that stuff's really going to ramp up starting next week. Tomorrow night, Virginia Tech opens the season with Alabama State in Castle Coliseum. 7 o'clock is when that game is scheduled to start. Big news, Red Panda at halftime.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought she was done. I thought she tore her ACL and retired. Is it going to be a different Red Panda?
I don't know. It better not be.
It better not be. Yeah. She's amazing. I'm just mad we don't have our courtside seats anymore for that.
A little ticked myself. But, yeah. You know, Witt and company, they built us some nice media spots up there. So
they did.
And we can actually stretch our legs a little bit.
Can't turn down $20,000 per table down there.
No. I mean,
they're going to be bringing in $240,000 a year in extra revenue now with those.
Yeah.
And when, you know, change the subject here, but when he got hired, I said one of the things he's going to do is create new revenue streams, and he sure managed to do that with Carillion Court at Castle Coliseum and with those tables. I mean, they're going to be that right there is about $750,000 per year in new revenue just on those two deals.
It's a big deal. So you were at the scrimmage last week, as was I. You got a chance to see those guys play live. Tomorrow night, it's a non-conference opponent that they should take care of handily, but it's the first step in the building process, second year of the program. What are you looking for?
I'm looking for better defense and better rebounding. I don't think they're going to be a great rebounding team. I'm not even sure they'll be an average rebounding team. They just can't be the absolute worst rebounding team in the country like they were last year. It wasn't quite the worst team in the country, but there was no power conference team anywhere near as bad as they were in rebounding. That has to change. They've got to get better defensively, and they've got to get tougher. I think they've got enough natural scorers on that team. I think Seth Allen's going to make a big impact. I think Zach Ledeh will make a bigger impact than people think. I mean, he's not going to be a great player, but I think he's going to bring much-needed reliability and experience, a guy who can do the little things. And I think they're going to be a better team. I wish they had Med Hill. Because I think if you put him, Seth Allen, and Chris Clark on the court together, that would potentially be the hardest playing backcourt in the ACC. All those guys have great motors.
It's going to be a fun team to watch. Any final thoughts there, big guy?
I've always said the last couple of weeks that I'm really excited to watch Seth Allen play, just because I know that he established himself as a very good point guard in the ACC when he was at Maryland. So I'm really excited to see what he can do, because I got to feel like he's going to be in the starting lineup. And I still think Devin Wilson can contribute as a sixth man off the bench type of deal and back him up. But also really excited to watch Chris Clark play. The dude's a freak athlete. I've never seen him play yet, and I'm pretty pumped to see what he can do.
We'll see you tomorrow night, Chris.
Definitely. Sounds good.
Chris Coleman, Tech Sideline. Follow him on Twitter at @ChrisColemanTSL. We'll take a break and come back and wrap up the show here on a Friday. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.